Good morning, everybody. Some years ago in Edinburgh, Scotland, in Princess Street, which is a street which has lots of shops with beautiful paintings, a man was standing looking at a painting of the crucifixion. And he hadn't sort of focused on this for many years. He was just focusing and watching the Savior there extended on the cross and the multitudes watching him and Mary and some others standing by. And after a while, a little boy he noticed just standing next to him, a little ragged boy. And he became aware of this little boy. And this guy looked at him and said, "That's Jesus, sir, on the cross. They nailed him there with a crown of thorns on his head and killed him, sir. He was a good man. He died for us. And that's his mother standing there, sir, looking at what they did to him." The gentleman felt a lump in his throat rising, and he continued down the street. And a little while, after a few steps, the little boy ran after him and tugged his coat tails and said, "I forgot to tell you, sir, I forgot to tell you, he rose again." I believe that the three most incredible words in the world are, "He has risen." And it's because of these three words, because of the fact of the resurrection, that we can celebrate this Easter time. Today is Palm Sunday. We remember Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, and overshadowing him was that cross that was coming his way. And then Good Friday, we remember again his crucifixion, and on Sunday, we celebrate his risen. And no matter where you are in your spiritual growth, or spiritual progress in your lives, we can have victory because of that cross. This morning's topic is victory in the cross. Two drunks were walking down one night after being at the pub, and they saw this lit up cross on top of a church, and the one pointed to the other and said, "There's God's plus sign." And he was so right. It is a plus sign. God gives us so much. The cross itself is the most horrible form of execution. It's the most barbaric and painful and very long process of killing the victim. So isn't it so amazing that that horrific object of pain and punishment and death has become the most incredible sign of victory for humanity? Now, I cannot tell you anything about the cross that you probably don't already know. You've read about it. You've heard many sermons about it. You've seen movies on it. You've thought about it and you've discussed it. So what new thing or refreshing thing can we think about this morning that we perhaps haven't applied to our lives before? And that's what I want us to do this morning. Now, the only thing we have that we have never experienced before in our lives is the present, today, the 25th of March 2018. And God wants us to use this day and every day that he gives us well for our good and for his glory. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22 and 23 says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Someone says today is the first day of the rest of your life. God is a God of newness, of freshness, of new beginnings. I'm continually amazed at how God never gives up on me and never gives up on any of us. So how can the subject affect us, victory on the cross this morning and for the rest of our lives? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 25 is the verses I want us to focus on this morning. So if you'd switch on your Bibles or turn to them or watch the screen, let's read it together. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 19. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, of course, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some of us are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Firstly, because of Jesus Christ's victory on the cross, we can all have confidence. Look at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most high place. Are you a confident Christian this morning? You should be, and you can be. Christians should be the most confident people on earth. The church tries to break down our confidence, doesn't it? But Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, the Christian has incredible confidence. And verse 19 tells us to enter the most holy place. We can have confidence to go right in by the blood of Jesus, by the victory of the cross. In the Old Testament temple, which the writer of Hebrews is using to illustrate his point, what is the significance of the most holy place, the Holy of Holies? Well, it is where God himself resided in those days, in that inner part of the temple. The very presence of God himself was there, his throne room. And that's where you and I, as Christians, have full access to today. We are personally there with God Almighty. You couldn't be any closer. And today we have access to God's royal throne in heaven now. Now, in the Old Testament, with the temple, God resided there. But we all know that as he was crucified, after that he rose again. After 40 days, he went back to heaven and sent his Holy Spirit. So the Christian has God's Holy Spirit within them, the throne room of God within you. So we are very, very privileged, and we can be confident because that throne room is with us all the time. And you as a Christian are welcomed there with open arms. Why? Because as Romans 8:1 tells us, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that an incredible verse? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, the Christian. Are you in Christ Jesus this morning? That's the most important question anyone can ask you. Then there's no condemnation for you. It doesn't matter how good or bad you feel this morning or what you're going through at the moment, and many of you are going through many different trials and tribulations. As the Christian, Jesus Christ's righteousness covers all of that, and you have direct contact with God. Friends, this verse doesn't tell you to pluck up the confidence and build it up and develop it. It says, since we have the confidence, that's present, that's today's talk. In the temple, there was this thick carpet-like curtain hanging between the outside world and the Holy of Holies. And in Matthew's Gospel, we are told in chapter 27, verse 50 and 51, that when Jesus was on the cross, he gave up his spirit. And that very moment, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. God did it, making way for us to enter. And back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. So that curtain is no more there anymore for the Christian. Because of Jesus' victory on the cross, that thick curtain was ripped and we walked through. Does that not give you confidence this morning? And then verse 21 continues. And since we have a high priest over the house of God. So my second point this morning is we have a great high personal priest. We know him personally. In the temple days, people had to go through the temple priests who then presented requests to God and gave people forgiveness, and we don't need that anymore. We are connected to the very top man, the great, the high priest, Jesus. The way into the sanctuary of God's presence was closed for people under the law, the former covenant, because of the blood of the animals sacrificed, who could never completely atone or pay for their sins. Now, however, believers can come through to the throne of grace since the perfect priest has offered the perfect sacrifice, atoning for our sins and for all. Going back a few verses in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 to 14, we read, day after day, every priest stands and performs his righteous duties. Again and again and again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when the priest had offered for all time one sacrifice, this priest, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he's made perfect forever those who are being made holy. I often think about how can one man pay for the sins of the whole world? But when you realize that Jesus Christ was absolutely perfect, that there can be no better sacrifice than Jesus Christ, a perfect man who never sinned ever, offering the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. And remember on the cross, Jesus, God said to Jesus, he sort of divided himself with Jesus, and Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus Christ was experiencing hell on earth, which was division from God. So the perfect man suffered the ultimate consequence, hell. So he paid our penalty. You can't go any higher. The third thing we have due to the victory on the cross is intimacy with God. Our verses tell us that we have confidence because we know the high priest personally. Verse 22a, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts. And we can draw near and call him Abba Father. There's nothing more intimate than that. Your father and you, your relationship. Isn't that great? We can just talk to him. He understands you better than you understand yourself. He accepts you. He loves you. I and Cynthia work for Operation Mobilization, which is a mission organization, and many missionaries go to closed countries where Christians are not allowed. And if you were known as a Christian, you'd be jailed or killed or sent home or whatever, and many have been. And one often wonders, how do people go to places like that? What confidence do they have to go to these alien countries that work there? How could they go there to these most dangerous places without God? They couldn't. Without their father holding their hand, they have confidence and intimacy with God. And that's the only reason that they go there and live it out and share the best they can with full assurance of faith because of Christ's victory in the cross. They can go victoriously, and so can we. On Friday evening, Cynthia and I saw a new movie, Christian movie, that's now on the open circuit called Paul, Apostle of Christ. It's about the last couple of weeks of Paul in prison in Rome. And it gives you just an incredible idea of what the conditions were like and what these Christians went through to be martyred so that we could have the gospel today. And it's about Luke visiting him in prison and writing down the last book that Paul dictated. And those Christians there had an intimacy with God. They had a confidence, as Paul did. He was eventually beheaded. And he went quietly to that place, knowing the confidence, because he knew that within seconds after being beheaded, he'd be with Jesus himself. That's the confidence we can have. It's real. The fourth thing these verses tell us is that we have forgiveness. And that's incredible. Look at 22, verse 22 again. Let's draw near to God with sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Aren't we so very blessed that we as Christians can be completely 100% forgiven as we confess our sins? Nowhere in this world can you get that. Nowhere else can you get forgiveness. People can forgive you, but with God's forgiveness, we really need him. Hebrews 9:28 says, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. There's a story from American history. In a tribe of Indians, someone was stealing chickens. And the chief declared that if that person was caught, the offender would receive 10 lashes. When the stealing continued, he raised it to 20 lashes. Still, the chickens methodically disappeared. In anger, the chief raised the sentence to 100 lashes. a sure sentence of death. The thief was finally caught, but the chief faced a terrible dilemma. The thief was his own mother. When the day of penalty came, the whole tribe gathered. Would the chief's love override his justice? The crowd gasped when he ordered his mother to be tied to the whipping post. The chief removed his shirt, revealing his powerful stature, and took the whip in his hand. But instead of raising to strike the first blow, he handed to a strong, brave standing at his side. And slowly the chief walked over to his mother and wrapped his massive arms around her in an engulfing embrace. And he ordered the brave to give him the 100 lashes. That's what Jesus did for each and every one of us sitting in this church this morning. In love, he became our substitute and died in our place. He overcame our inability to save ourselves by paying the price for our sins. In our illustration, a mother's life was extended by the substitutionary love of her son, and for us, everlasting life is bought through this substitutionary in place of death of Jesus Christ. For every sin you've ever confessed to God, you can say with great conviction, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Some lovely verses in 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Say that to yourself quietly now. I'm forgiven. Then our verses continue. Number 5, hope. Look at verse 23 of Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Without hope, people perish. I've lived in this world for quite a number of years, and I've discovered that the world does not give us hope. South Africans are going through quite a tough period at the moment, losing hope. We haven't hope in the government. We haven't hope in the opposition. We don't have hope in money, nothing. I've got a bit of hope in Cyril, hoping he'll sort things out. He's a Christian and he's a sensible man, so I've got a bit of hope in him. But hope deferred makes the heart sick. But what incredible hope we have in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 tells us the following. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Are you enjoying living in the great hope which God gives you? Through Jesus Christ's victory on the cross, unswervingly, without doubt and without hesitation, have you got that hope this morning for sure? As a Christian, you have that hope. So rest in it. Psalm 62, verse 5 to 8 tells us, and I'll read it to you. Psalm 62, verse 5 to 8. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be forsaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. That great hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And what's more, you'll please God if you exhibit that hope. Look at Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. So you're pleasing God by having that hope and showing that hope. You may be feeling a bit weather-beaten this morning, maybe tired, spiritually weary. Over the past week, Isaiah 40, verse 31 tells us, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So rest in him, friend, and enjoy his presence and his peace and his hope for eternity. Some very clever people who you've heard of have understood that fact at the end of their lives. William Shakespeare, with his brilliant brain, at his death said, "I commend my soul into the hands of God, my Creator, assuredly believing through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Savior, to be made partaker of life everlasting." John Milton, a great English poet, said this when he was dying, "Death is the great key that opens the palace of eternity." Martin Luther, at his death, said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." That's great hope, isn't it? And when D.L. Moody was dying, he looked up to heaven and said, "Earth is receding, heaven is opening. This is my coronation day." Our passage closes by looking from within to others. Number 6, verse 24. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." We saved to serve. That's the reason God saved us. Reach out and be blessed. That's what that verse is saying. Because what you sow, you reap in life. And I find that the happiest people on this planet are those who reach out to others and care for others and are concerned for others and love others and tell them. Because God has blessed you with so much from the victory on the cross. Spread the blessing. Spread the blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5 says the following, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." Try it. Bless someone and see what happens. And finally, number 7, our last verse, verse 25. "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing," excuse me, "but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Sweet fellowship. The world can be a lonely place, and you all know that. Doesn't matter how many people are around you, you can still be lonely. But the cure for loneliness is to reach out to other people. We united at the cross of victory. So reach out for others and enjoy that victory. Let them enjoy it as well. So there we have it. 7 points of victory for us because of Jesus' victory on the cross. Number 1, we have confidence. We have access into the royal throne within us. Confidence to continue. Secondly, we have a great high personal priest, and we can know him personally. I hope each one of you know him personally this morning. If you don't, you need to do something about it very urgently. Number 3, intimacy with God. We are family. Number 4, forgiveness. Washed, cleansed, pure. Number 5, hope. Now and for eternity. Number 6, blessed to help others. And number 7, fellowship with God's family. I'll close with this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Almighty God, we bow before you as just ordinary folk this morning, thanking you so much for the victory of the cross. Thank you that you've given us another Easter period just to be reminded of your incredible love personally for each one of us sitting here this morning. Lord, thank you for the confidence we can have for the rest of our lives. Thank you for that you are our great high priest, personally ministering to us and for us and through us. Thank you that we have intimacy with God through what you did on that cross. Thank you for the forgiveness you give us each time we ask for forgiveness and you cleanse us. Thank you for the hope we have now and forever. Thank you that we are blessed to help others. And thank you for the fellowship we enjoy one with another. That's so important. So Lord, as we go through this another Easter time in our lives, may it be a very blessed, a very meaningful time for us. As we just kneel at the cross, but the empty cross, and worship you and thank you and love you as you minister to our lives, Lord, for which we pray, that you'd encourage us and help us so that we may be the people, more of the people you want us to be. We thank you for that. We give you all the praise and all the thanks and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.